Amen. And you may be seated. Will you please join with me in a spirit of prayer? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I am curious how many of you have ever tried to trace your family's lineage, either purchasing the at-home kit off Ancestry.com or just asking a relative or going back through old family archives and mapping out your family lineage. How many of you have ever tried to do that? Raise your hands. See, that's a lot of us. It's a very common thing to research and study genealogies. Learning your family history gives you a new sense of identity. We often call it roots. And it's fascinating to find your place in history. Some of us in our families have even recorded our family history in our Bibles. My great-grandmother had passed the Bible down to me, a very old Bible, and right before the New Testament was a place where she could mark births and deaths and marriages. And I looked at that this week as I was reading and preparing for this sermon, and I learned names of family members I didn't even knew I had, and all these names I had never heard before. And it's very fitting that that was found in right before the New Testament, because Matthew starts off all of our Bibles with a genealogy, with which you all got to read and experience today. And you're probably wondering, why on earth did I have you read a bunch of names in church? And that's a fair question. It's because genealogies are important, because people are important, and each person is important to God. It was important to Matthew to start the gospel with Jesus' genealogy so that every reader would understand that this is the kingly Messiah that was promised to Israel. Matthew was rooting Jesus' birth in history here. And it may be tempting when you are reading scripture to skip right over genealogies. I mean, there's 9 chapters in Chronicle, the book of Chronicles, that are just names. That is just tempting just not to read at all. And of course, this one was full of really long names that we don't really know how we're pronouncing them and if we're pronouncing them right. So it's very tempting to skip over those names. But I would urge you to reconsider, because believe it or not, this list of names, this one in particular, is filled with hope and promise for us all, even today. This genealogy is filled with hope and promise because, as we read in this text, the role of women is highlighted in this genealogy. In Matthew, there are 5 women that are highlighted here. There's Tamar and Rahab and Ruth and Uriah's wife and Mary, all highlighted by Matthew at a time in a patriarchal culture where women's names were completely left out of most genealogies. Matthew here is restoring the role of women and reminding us all that God is not just the savior of men, but he is also the one that works to restore mutual dignity, equality, and complementarianism of both men and women. In addition, 3 of these women are arguably non-Jewish people. They are Gentiles, which is also a crazy thing that Matthew would have included them in a Jewish genealogy. Matthew is trying to get us to see that Jesus' story is going to be inclusive of all people and including all people in Jesus' genealogy. And this genealogy is filled with hope and promise because it's fulfilling God's promise that all people will be welcomed into the kingdom of God. A promise that goes back all the way to Abraham, our first name that was read. Thank you, Paula. First name of Abraham that was read because God made a promise to Abraham. A promise that happened in the book of Genesis, chapter 15, which, I mean, I could argue one of the most important chapters of our scripture, because God makes a promise to Abraham that his descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the sky. And how is that going to happen? We find it right here. It's going to happen through Jesus, who Jesus will welcome in all people into this kingdom, no longer just for the Jewish people, but for everyone will be a member of the kingdom of God because of Jesus. So what we see in this genealogy is that there's room for every story, that God takes our brokenness, even the brokenness of families and turns it into something that's beautiful. Jesus' family tree, if you, after this service, if you want to go back and research some of those names in the Old Testament, you will find some very hard stories about some of these people listed in Jesus' family tree. This family tree is full of brokenness, trauma, tragedy, kings that turn their back totally on God and worship idols. But the crazy thing is that God does not give up on this line. Despite the brokenness, despite each one of them turning their backs at one point, God stays with this family line. And God continues to use this line in all of its brokenness to restore the world. There is hope and redemption. Even in the brokenness of our world today, with cars going through storefronts, gun violence everywhere, a broken political system, racism, hatred, we hold on to hope that God will restore this earth to its full glory, just like he restored that line of Jesus's line. We hold faith that God will restore, that Jesus will come back and make everything right, that this whole earth will be restored to God's glory. And that is the hope and promise of Advent. That's the hope and promise that we enter into Advent with that faith, knowing that God will make everything right. That's the story that we bring into Advent. There's hope through Christ that makes us one and restores all that is broken. So this week, I invite you to give that hope away to others. Share the story of hope that is in your hearts, because this world needs hope. It needs love. It needs all of us to become one. So God is not finished restoring. He restored this line to its full glory, and he will restore each one of us to our full glory as well. In knowing Jesus' roots, we become rooted in the hope and promise of God. Amen. Friends, our closing hymn is titled, Come Thou Expected Jesus. You'll find that hymn in the green hymnal if you are here in the sanctuary. And for those of you joining us from home, you'll find the lyrics dropping into the comments down below. Let us sing together to God our praises.